Today we are continuing our Lenten journey, encounters with Jesus, and looking today at Jesus' encounter with blind Bartimaeus. It's interesting that this encounter, one of the healing stories of Jesus, and it's a great encounter that we're going to get into here in just a few moments, but we need to remember that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross of Calvary, and so you would think someone with that perspective who knows what lies ahead of him would be less focused on some of the people around him, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. He sought out people, and he is prepared to have a life-changing encounter with a blind man named Bartimaeus. Before we read this story, let me tell you a little story that will kind of set this up for you of how significant this encounter is. When I was in seminary in the 1990s, I began to appreciate the ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. At the time, Rick Warren was the founder and the pastor of Saddleback Community Church in California. And I read his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, over and over again. In fact, it came out in 1995, and I graduated in 1997 from seminary. And I read this book over and over again and made marks and notes in the in the margins and so forth of things that I was going to do when I became a pastor. And I began to follow his ministry, and everything he put out I read. And I thought, boy, would it be nice someday to be able to meet Rick Warren. Well, in 2001, I was accepted into a doctoral program at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky. And before our year together began, our class met actually in California to visit some churches. Well, we didn't know which churches we were going to go visit, but I secretly hoped that Saddleback would be on that list. For 3 days, we visited churches and talked with some cutting-edge pastors in the Los Angeles area, and then on the last day, on our last church visit, we pulled into Saddleback Community Church, and I was able to meet Pastor Rick Warren because our class had lunch with him that day. It was an encounter that I had anticipated but figured would never happen. How does a quiet Southern Lancaster County boy ever get to meet a mega pastor from Los Angeles, California? But I finally got to meet the man whose ministry had so impacted mine. You know, we encounter a lot of people in our lifetime, but few make a lasting impact. Few make a lasting impact. But I dare say in our encounter today that Jesus has with blind Bartimaeus, this is an encounter that he would never forget. It had an eternal impact, and a lasting impact for him. And you'll see that as we read our story today. So our story is from Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52 for a message entitled, The Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Hear now the word of God. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Here ends the reading, God's holy word. Jesus is on the way to the cross and he has an encounter with a blind beggar, and this annoying blind beggar starts calling for Jesus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The first point of our message today is this. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out to Jesus. He couldn't see, so he used what he could, which was his voice. And knowing that Jesus was passing by, he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now keep in mind that Bartimaeus is blind, and being blind in first century Palestine meant that you were destined to live a life of poverty. You were going to be a beggar, and he's actually described as a beggar in this story. He's dependent on the goodness of others to survive. He couldn't see. Today, the blind have much more available to them. Everything from seeing eye dogs to braille to voice-activated computers. But 2,000 years ago, poor Bart, he didn't have much. He was probably poor, not well-kept, living day-to-day off the generosity of others. But when Jesus comes by, Bart speaks up. He uses his voice. And notice that he asks Jesus to have mercy on him. He doesn't say, "Give me some money or give me some food." Just simply, "Have mercy on me." And it's interesting that he addressed Jesus as Son of David. This was Bart's desperate attempt to encounter Jesus. Nobody could help him, but maybe, just maybe, Jesus could. And so he cries out to him. Have you ever cried out to Jesus? Have you ever really cried out to Jesus? I remember in 2016, I went to visit my older brother Don just before he passed away. And it was in the last week of his life, and he was dying, he was weak, he had little voice left, and as much as I wanted to, I couldn't pray with him that day. I just couldn't get the words to come. So we simply cried and hugged as we said goodbye. And I remember leaving his house and sobbing the whole way back to Harrisburg. I was crying out to Jesus. A few days later, he was gone. He passed on to eternity. The Lord carried him home. Friends, there's nothing wrong with crying out to Jesus, because Jesus hears those cries, just like he heard the voice of Bartimaeus, and he hears our voice too. Bart cries out to Jesus, but the disciples and the others around him, well, they kind of rebuked him. "What are you doing crying out to Jesus? Don't bother him. You're just a lowly beggar." They tell him to be quiet, to let the master alone. But blind Bartimaeus is not deterred. He keeps speaking out, keeps crying out. We are told that many of the disciples and the people in the crowd rebuked him. In other words, they're saying to him, "Hey, why don't you just shut up, you know? Why don't you just be quiet? Nobody wants to hear from you." And that leads to our second point today. Blind Bartimaeus was determined to meet Jesus. He wasn't about to be quiet. He wasn't about to let Jesus pass by without getting his attention. He wanted to meet Jesus, just like I had wanted to meet Rick Warren. "Son of David, have mercy on me." He wasn't going to let the naysayers keep him from Jesus. Does it trouble you that people following Jesus are trying to stop a person who's crying out to Jesus? Shouldn't that set wrong with us? Here is someone who wants to meet Jesus, who is longing to connect with Jesus, and the disciples and those around him are saying, "You know what? You're not worthy. You're not worthy." Doesn't happen today, does it? Far too often. A young high school-age female left her youth group after she told her youth pastor that she was gay. The youth pastor said, "Go find Jesus somewhere else." And unfortunately, she found another church that welcomed her. Sometimes we who follow Jesus can make it difficult for others to get close to him. Sometimes we who follow Jesus make it too difficult for others to encounter Jesus. Let's give Bartimaeus some credit here. He didn't give up. He was relentless. He was persistent. He was determined to meet Jesus. And when told to be quiet, what did he do? He cried out all the more. "I'm not going to be quiet. This is my opportunity. I want to meet Jesus." Today, 2,000 years later, with a church on every corner, we struggle to see that kind of determination in people. Encountering Jesus in a life-changing way like Bartimaeus wanted to, desired to. We struggle to see that today. And so the blind man didn't give up. He didn't listen to the voices of the followers who were saying, you know what, just be quiet. You really don't matter. I remember a song growing up in the church that became quite popular about 40 years ago now. It was entitled, People Need the Lord. The year was 1984. Steve Green released the song, and here are the words of that song, People Need the Lord. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. Bart knew he needed the Lord. He knew it. He knew it, and he wasn't going to be quiet when everyone said, just be quiet. You don't really matter. Jesus heard Bartimaeus shouting, and he stopped in his tracks. And at that moment, nothing was more pressing to Jesus than attending to the blind man on the side of the road who was crying for mercy. And so Jesus told his followers, he said, call him. In other words, bring him to me. And the disciples, who were just a moment ago were saying, you know what, you be quiet because you really don't matter. Now they go over to him and they say, okay, you know, get up, the master's calling for you, let's go. Now all of a sudden he's someone of importance because Jesus said, bring him to me. They say, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Jesus didn't ignore Bartimaeus. In fact, he treated him as someone of great value. Keep in mind that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross of Calvary. And here he is in this moment, pausing to empower someone who had no life whatsoever. All he had was a voice to cry out to Jesus. Our third point today is this. Jesus treated blind Bartimaeus with overwhelming love. Overwhelming love. And we as Christ followers should do the same. Our job is to seek out those who do not know the love of Christ, those who have been perhaps hurt by the church, those who are poor and on the margins, feeling as if no one cares for them. We're to run to them saying, hey, cheer up. The Master's calling for you. He's calling for you. You are someone of value. You are someone that He loves. Invite them to church here to sit with you on a Sunday morning or join with you in your Sunday school program, Sunday school, or your small group Bible study. That's what we're to do. We're to invite people to come and learn about the Master. You and I love and help people encounter Jesus by loving those that so many ignore. I read when Andrew Young was mayor of Atlanta, he was deeply disturbed by the number of homeless people on the streets and the city's apparent inability to address the issue. And he told his staff that he wanted to better understand those who lived in the streets, the roots of their problems, and the city's inadequate response. And so he decided he was going to put on old clothes and be with the homeless for 3 days and two nights. Well, his staff reacted a lot like Jesus' followers when Bartimaeus was calling for attention. Mayor, you are way too busy to do that. We need you in the office. The naysayers warned him, everyone knows who you are. You'll be recognized, so you'll learn nothing. Well, he went anyway, and he walked, and he talked, and he listened, and he learned. And when he returned, his staff asked, well, what did it teach you? Mary Young's reply was, no one recognized me. No one recognized me. No one looks into the eyes of the poor. As mayor of a major American city, Young was on the evening news. He was a frequent speaker at political events, civic meetings, and churches. But this was different, he explained. No one looks into the faces of the homeless. There is no encounter. We simply do not see the person. We are blind to their humanity. And so it is with the hungry, so it is with the hurting, so it is with the helpless, so it is with the poor, so it is with blind Bartimaeus. So many people didn't see him. So many people didn't see him, didn't recognize him. They had been blind to him, blind to his importance as a person created in the image of God. Blind to the fact that he was human just like them and no less important. It's interesting that Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And do you suppose that the disciples and others around Jesus were thinking, "Duh, Jesus, what do you think? He wants money or he wants food. You know, he's a beggar. That's what he does. That's how he survives." But Jesus didn't assume that he knew what Bartimaeus wants, so he asked him. And Bart responds, I want to see. The point is this, blind Bartimaeus asked Jesus for a miracle. He really did. He asked Jesus for a miracle. He didn't ask for food. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for anything tangible. He asked him for a miracle. Jesus listened and took Bart seriously. And I think this is how Jesus responds to all our requests. He may not always give us what we want, but he listens. And he takes us seriously. And he doesn't ignore us. Our prayers are not in vain. Jesus stops, calls Bartimaeus to him, and asks him, "What do you want?" "Rabbi, I want to see," Bartimaeus says. And when we take time to listen to the poor, and instead of assuming the worst, we might hear surprising things. You might hear the poor say, "We need transportation or public transportation. Or we need a more manageable, easier access to food. We need a way to get to work. We need a way to get to a doctor visit. We need a low interest loan." I serve on the Slanko Neighborhood Ministries board along with Ken Rutt, and they deal with these issues all the time of how do you help people but also empower people? How do you see them as made in the image of God, as someone of value? People of Jesus, following Jesus, they had been blind to Bartimaeus, but Jesus wasn't. And he worked a miracle in his life. And that leads to our last point today. Blind Bartimaeus' encounter with Jesus gives him a new life. Gives him a new life. Not only does Jesus empower Bartimaeus to live a new life, he gives the crowd new eyes to see as well. Because Bartimaeus doesn't ask for food, he doesn't ask for money, he asks to be able to see again, and Jesus, like that, heals him. He heals him. This is a life-changing encounter for him. And Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you. Because you cried out to me, you have been healed. Because you believed that I could make a difference, you have been healed." No longer dependent on the generosity of others, he is now rich because of the generosity of Christ. He's given a new life. And notice what it says in verse 52. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. He didn't go back to family. He didn't go back to anyone else. He stayed with Jesus and followed Jesus. And where is Jesus heading? He's headed to the cross. And here is blind Bartimaeus who can see for the first time. And he's right there with Jesus. His life was radically changed because he encountered Jesus. You know, Jesus can heal physical blindness, but more than that, he wants to heal spiritual blindness. Bartimaeus wanted to see, but more importantly, he wanted his life so he could follow Jesus. And his encounter with Jesus changed him from begging on the roadside to following Jesus. How about you? Has your life been radically changed by an encounter with Jesus? If Jesus asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you respond? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Blind Bartimaeus, that's a tremendous example of this verse. He became a new creation. One moment he's begging on the roadside, blind. Now he can see and he's following Jesus. What a life-changing encounter. What a life-changing encounter. How about you? Have you had that life-changing encounter? Let me close with this. You know, friends, there's a lot of places today you can go that will promise you a changed life. Want to be happy? Go to Disney World, right? Happiest place on earth. You want to look better? Go to a plastic surgeon or the gym or a weight loss center. You want to feel better? You go to a doctor. There are places you can go. There are products that you can try. There are services that supposedly will change your life. But you know, they can't offer what the gospel of Jesus Christ can offer. The change that Jesus brings impacts every aspect of our lives. And that change continues on to eternity. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" But the answer had already been given. Jesus says, "I've already given it to you. I gave my life for you. What more can I do? What more can I give?" An encounter with Jesus can transform our lives and help us to find our place and our purpose in this world. We want to see every human soul have a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And that begins by knowing that there's no spa, there's no doctor, there's no diet, there's no life coach that is going to change your life like Jesus will. Has he changed you? Are you walking in the newness of life today like blind Bartimaeus? Or are you blind and begging alongside the road, crying out to Jesus? Friends, don't wait any longer. Your encounter with Jesus is here. Come and call upon him and believe, and you too will be wonderfully, wonderfully saved, wonderfully changed. You'll be just like Bart, a new creation following Jesus. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we recognize today that this is a wonderful story of Jesus encountering a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, a man who was determined to meet Jesus, and a man whose encounter with Jesus was life-changing. One moment begging alongside the road, the next moment he is seeing and following Jesus. Father, we need to have that life-changing encounter as well. An encounter with Jesus to the point where we are changed and moved from someone who is helpless to someone who is wonderfully saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, if there's someone here today who has never had that life-changing encounter with Jesus, Father, I pray in these moments today that they indeed would invite you into their life, confessing their sin, declaring Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, enthroned upon their heart, and be that new creation. Thank you, Father, that Jesus still saves, still changes lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.